Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquez and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Across the number one internet sports talk show in the world, along with our affiliate radio stations, we welcome you, and we welcome you with open arms to The Balance on Saturday morning. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente, the great prognosticator when it comes to sports. You can join us in any conversation that we have today, 917-889-8516. You know, I say this every single week. I say we have a jam-packed show for you. Well, I am not letting you down today either. We have a jam-packed show for you. And let me tell you what, this is really one of the most exciting shows that we've did in a while in the aspects of the guests that we have, the caliber of guests that we have, and what we've got going on. Well, you know, normally at and of course our buddies over at Radio Speed Talk will be greatly missed today, but they had some other obligations that come up. But what we've got planned is coming up here in just a few moments, we're going to have Josh Bourne. Now, you talk about a guy who actually lives his life on the edge of a motorcycle, freestyle motorcycling. That is unbelievable. We're going to talk about him and his sport and what he's doing up at Auburn, Indiana, and obviously does this for a living. An incredible, incredible interview you do not want to miss. And then we're going to be talking some racing. We're going to break down some NASCAR and NHRA. We're going to see if maybe we'll get some people, more people to call in during the racing segment. But then at 10 o'clock, Meet Your Makers, we're going to catch up with Josh and Chris and see what they've been up to. And then about 10:15, we're going to get you brought up on everything from the NBA draft to Aaron Hernandez. Yes, the drama in New England. Tim Tebow, does he have a job? I think so, my friends. I think so. We're going to talk about that. And at the bottom of the hour, another great guest lined up, 10:30, Chris Lytle. And if you're familiar with any of the MMA fighting or any of the what goes on in the MMA, you know Chris Lytle. And he's from Indiana, and he's going to talk with us about what he's been doing and what he's got coming up as well. So we look forward to having Chris Lytle on. So like I said, we have a great show for you today. So all I can tell you, buckle up, my minions. And if you want to be a minion, you say, hey, what do I got to do to be a minion? Well, you just got to go to Twitter, T-Balance, hit follow, go to Facebook, search The Balance, hit like, boom, you're a minion. And then show up for duty every Saturday morning. That makes you a minion. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente. I'm your great leader and prognosticator in the world of sports. You do not want to miss today's show. I'm going to tell you what, if you do, well, you've just missed a lot. We're going to be right back. And around the corner, we're going to have with us Josh Bourne, freestyle motorcycle racer.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
He said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Tired of hearing the same old racing shows?
Why listen to the same boring results with mundane robotic ticks?
Try Speed Talk. We're not your father's racing show.
We cover all racing with an edge.
Join the menage a trois of opinions, both crazy and legit.
Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com to balance and other local affiliates.
We cover national and local racing venues.
We include great interviews and occasionally throw in some history lessons.
That is Do You Know, Kenny.
Speed Talk. Where entertainment is always a guarantee.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubbers speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk, that's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. We're standing by for Mr. Josh Bourne, freestyle motorcycle racer. Going to talk with us about what he does, what he's all about. I tell you what, have you seen these guys get on these freestyle motorcycles? It is on
freaking believable, I'm telling you. Unbelievable. Living the life on the edge here. And so we're just kind of standing by here. Hopefully we'll get him on the air here in just a minute. Obviously, I got a lot going on here, so we're trying to get connected to him. And so we'll do that here just as soon as we possibly can. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about NASCAR. Of course, missing our guys out from Radio Speed Talk. I know they had other obligations going on. And you know what? I am not beyond using guilt if I have to make people feel better. But you know what? We will not be doing any type of surprise calls or anything like that. So we're still trying to reach Josh Bourne, a freestyle racer. Bourne Freestyle. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a few moments. But you know what? As I say, the show must go on. So we're going to keep going here, and hopefully we'll get Josh on here just momentarily, and we're going to talk a little bit about some NASCAR, some NHRA, and maybe some IndyCar. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the NASCAR race and the NASCAR series. Always good to talk some NASCAR. Obviously, getting geared up for the Brickyard coming here to Indianapolis at the end of July. And we'll be out there, of course, in full force out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, bringing you all of the action from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Well, Dale Jr. out of Kentucky. You know, we were talking about some fast tracks. Kentucky is a fast track. Dale Jr. sets a track record in a qualifying run out in Kentucky. And I tell you what, I like Kentucky. I love Kentucky. I love everything about it, and it's just a beautiful state. And they've got a great track out there. Dale Earnhardt Jr. takes his first pole, 2013, out in Sparta, Kentucky. Well, all I can tell you, with a fast car, unbelievable fast car, Earnhardt spent around the 1.5 mile track at 183.63 miles to edge out Carl Edwards at 183.306. He was on a slight twitch off turn two, away from challenging for the top starting spot. Jimmy Johnson, 183.144, qualified third by 2011 Kentucky winner Kyle Busch, 182.593, and Marcos Ambrose. We saw him real fast up there in Michigan. He has a very fast car. Marcos Ambrose, 182.587. We're still standing by, guys. To hopefully have Josh Bourne on here soon. And when we do, we'll break away from that. We'll break away from that and go with that. So we just keep moving forward here, and we're talking about some racing. If you guys want to talk some racing, call me 917-889-8516. And so if you want to talk some racing, we're here to talk racing, NASCAR, IndyCar. Let me know. We got a lot going on here today. Like I said, we have a jam-packed show for you, and we're hoping anytime here to have Josh Bourne give us a call and see if he can get in with us. I'm having well, you see, that's what happens when I try to chew gum and walk at the same time. Well, anyway, we're talking about big boys being out in Kentucky. Let's talk about a little bit about NASCAR. Danica, anything you want to talk about, 917-889-8516. Also want to make sure that we welcome all of our friends out at Indiana Talk who listens to us on our Encore show from 3 to 5 every Saturday. We run the Encore show over on Indiana Talks, and we thank you guys for joining us. And I wish that you guys could join us on the live conversations, but certainly you can follow us on Facebook, The Balance, or Twitter, T Balance as well. Well, the NASCAR's out in force out at Sparta, Kentucky. If you've ever been to that track, that is a great track to go. You know, in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways. It reminds me of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's big, it's wide, it's got the infield, and it's just got a lot of great amenities, much like Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And it's not that far of a drive to get down there and check out the Sprint Cup Series. And of course, then we've got the nationwide race of the Camping Truck World Series also to talk about. Now, we don't, you know, we don't get a chance to talk about the truck race as much as, you know, as some of our other sports as we'd like to do. And so hopefully we'll get Josh on here in just a minute. I'm being told by my people who have talked to their people that we're going to have him on here in just a moment. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we get back, hopefully we'll have Josh Bourne on Freestyle Motorcycle Racing. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Speed Talk is a show about racing, both national and local.
We also give our opinions and thoughts on the happenings of the week.
On top of that, we also include interviews from all tiers of racing.
And don't forget the segment Do You Know, which gives you more knowledge than you can handle.
Really, Kenny? More knowledge than we can handle?
Join Tom, Kenny, and me, Cliff, weekly on Speed Talk as we give you the lowdown on the racing world.
Catch us on The Balance and other affiliates weekly.
Don't forget to visit us at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, the racing show you won't soon forget.
And you have a bicycle or a scooter or whatever, all you want to do is wheelie. Freestyle riding is everything that your mom has ever not wanted you to do on a bicycle or motorcycle as a sport.
Mom always told me to give me good grades. She'd buy me a dirt bike. That's kind of where it started. Nothing makes me more happy than jumping on a bike and grinning ear to ear.
The great thing about motorcycling in general, whether it's freestyle, dirt bikes, or anything like that, is that it gets you away from daily life. Whether it's money, whether it's girls, whatever it is, you find a lot of solitude and relaxation, believe it or not.
When you can grab something that has no purpose to be in the air and jump it and flip it around, it gets really addicting.
Incorporating anything and everything you can do on a motorcycle, from a wheelie to a burnout, anything and everything that I can do that you can't do is what freestyle is.
We have four main categories. We have an acrobatic category, so that's anything where there's two wheels on the ground and the rider's jumping around the motorcycle, doing headstands, things like that. We have the burnout category. There's a lot of skill sets that go into that. We've incorporated car-like drifting into motorcycling these days, which is a lot of fun. We have wheelies, which is the easiest one for everybody to understand, because it's just wheelies, but it's not just wheelies anymore. Riders are doing things that weren't conceivable 3 years ago.
You almost couldn't imagine what's possible, and it takes young guys, you know, trying to knock off the top dogs to invent new stuff and do things that are physically impossible on a 400-pound machine.
You know, these bikes, they're honoring, and they weigh a lot. If you think about 400 pounds, it's actually a refrigerator weighs significantly less than that.
I think you have to be kind of crazy to be a freestyle rider. A normal person's not going to come out here and grab a handful of front brake at 60, 70 miles an hour.
There comes a point where you just have to suck it up and go do something and sort of get over your fears.
It's just as dangerous as anything else, if not more. We don't have a foam pit to land in or anything. We have the concrete and ourselves.
The moment you make a mistake, you know it, because the bike catapults you through the air. And then about the time that you hit the pavement is usually about the time the bike lands on top of you. It's pretty instant.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And I tell you what, And we love to live life on the edge here at The Balance, but we do it once a week here on Saturday mornings. But joining us now is a guy who does it every single day of his life, probably even in his sleep, is Mr. Josh Bourne. I hope I'm saying that name right. Josh, how you doing,
well,
sir?
Yeah, Bourne, not bad, man. It's great to be on here. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic. Good to have you on. And I'm not sure. We do have someone call up from 26. Is this hello? Who's this?
It's your buddy Kenny Barr from Speed Talk.
Hi,
I got
Kenny.
About 5 minutes rolling into Winchester School and working work in Arca Show. And
all right. Well, we got Josh Bourne on, a freestyle motorcycle racer, on with us, Kenny. Now, Josh, I know you're up in – are you in Auburn today, or is that where you're at today?
Yeah, we're in Auburn all weekend long for the Ride for the Red event up at the Auctions America Complex.
Well, fantastic.
Hey,
go ahead, Kenny.
You know, part of the reason I'm calling is, Josh, I'm the house manager of Shepherd's House, which is one of the outfits that you're doing a benefit for up there. So I wanted to call to thank you personally. And all the guys that are there, if I didn't have a commitment the other end of the state, I'd be up there with you fellas.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. First off, I've got to thank you for all that you do, because everything that you guys have put together is just amazing. So definitely thank you guys for doing what you do.
It's just a mission of love, and it's where God placed my wife and I right now, and it's great to help the guys who defended this great country over the time and have run into kind of a rough patch in life, and hope you get to meet some of the guys from the house, because they're really a great group of guys. I respect them to the end of the earth. And then when they start getting clean and sober and things, they turn out to be quite a funny group of people that it's fun to hang out with. It's like having a house, big family of 32 guys in one great big house. A lot of testosterone drives my wife nutty sometimes. But
I bet, man.
Well, one thing Josh is not lacking in, and that's testosterone. Dude, I'm going to tell you what, man. We do a lot of racing coverage, and we have a lot of drivers on it. And as close to what I would say would be our NHR dragster guys that come on in the drag cycles. But you take it to another level. We have the MotoGP coming here to Indianapolis just right around the corner. And I always say there's no way around that I'm going to go 200 miles an hour around a track and touch the ground as I go around. You, on the other hand, say, bring it on. Not only are you going to go 200 miles an hour, I don't know the speeds that you do this, but 60, 70 miles an hour, and then you lock up the front brake, you spin up. Talk with us a little bit about freestyle. You really do live life on the edge.
Yeah, we try to, man. I mean, it's kind of controlled chaos, I suppose, you know. You sit there and you take a motorcycle and you do things on a motorcycle that it was never, ever, ever intentionally made to do. So it's like, that's the fun part about my job, is I get to take a motorcycle to its absolute limit and then figure out how to control a crash, you know. And it's something that's just expanding our sport more and more and more. And now we're getting into drift racing, which is one of my biggest favorite parts about what we do. So I don't know if you've ever been able to see any of that kind of stuff. Like, you understand how they have the car racing, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Car drift racing. That's the kind of stuff. We're actually developing a full series where we do motorcycle drift racing, like extended swing on bike, sliding it on the rear tire. Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun.
It's a whole. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Kenny. It's a whole lot of crazy. But as we just talked about here in the intro, you guys are up there in Auburn doing a pretty good thing. And Kenny's usually on with us with Radio Speed Talk as well. But he also, as he mentioned, is part of the Shepherd House. Talk with us a little bit about what you've got going on in Auburn this weekend.
As far as up in Auburn, we got the Freedom Riders. It's a big charity event. You know, we've got the Red Cross, we've got the Shepherd House. We're doing a big charity motorcycle run today at noon. We've got freestyle shows, music festivals. It's kind of like just a big party at the full complex. You know, it's just one of those fun events to come out. We try and raise awareness about motorcycles, trying to raise a lot of money for a lot of good organizations, and just having a fun time doing it.
Now, Josh, I love your slogan here, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. And my screen went blank on me, but it's a Bible verse from Joshua there. Do not be discouraged.
Be strong
and
courageous.
There you go.
We'll be with you wherever you go. Yeah, that's kind of what we based Bourne Freestyle upon. Like, I grew up in Decatur, Indiana. My family's got about a 2,000-acre farm down here, and Very, very faith-based. I moved up to Flint, Michigan to go to college, and I was an engineer for, almost 7 years probably with my college internships. And then I decided to go full-time motorcycle ride and move down to Atlanta, and we started Boyne Freestyle, and it's just a full faith-based organization to where, you know, we're trying to use what I do as a living as a platform to kind of expand, you know, the good word and the faith of the Lord. And, you know, because obviously he's my first sponsor, to be quite honest with you, because
sure,
without
absolutely.
Him, I certainly wouldn't be here, because he sends me a few guardian angels every day, I think.
Well, I think it's more than one. You're up there at the Ride for the Red Motorcycle Music Festival as well. They're at the Auctions America Complex in Auburn. So let's talk, Gideon, feel free to jump in here anytime that you want. I know that you're not going to be on for much longer. But let's talk a little bit about what you do every day. And let's talk about the competitive edge, no pun intended, that you live on and what you do in your sport.
Oh, man, it's practice daily. That's the one thing is, like, as you hear, you know, you always got the younger guys who are up and coming, and I've been doing this for about 9 years now, and it's, you always have to be on top of your game. There's always new tricks being developed. There's always more speed being involved with it. And, you know, we have our stoppies, acrobatics, burnout, drifting, and obviously the wheelie. You know, that's kind of what originated our sport. You know, guys back in the day, back in the 70s, you know, were trying to control how to do wheelies, and kind of our forefathers started developing it more and more. And now we have full variations where, you know, our feet are up and over the front, we're tucking in over to the side, circle wheelies, figure eight wheelies, where, you know, it's full control of the motorcycle. You can pretty much go through a slalom course and turn around and come back and go the other way doing wheelies. And, but yeah, stoppies, I would say, are also one of my favorite things, too, is just you're taking a motorcycle up on the front wheel, you know, triple-digit speeds and trying to control that thing. It's a feeling that I can't even explain to anybody, you know. It's just something that you can, no matter what, you have this big block of area to ride in. You're not trying to cut a time-lapse speed or anything like that. It's, you get to do whatever you want to do at that point in time, and it's such a liberating feeling. You just, I do whatever I want to do, and it's such a fun time doing it.
Kitty, do you have anything for Josh?
No, I don't. Hang on a sec. I'm going to have to go, guys. I've arrived at the Speedway, and I've got to go to work. So,
take care, Kitty, man. It was good to talk to you.
All right, buddy.
Have a free day, man.
Kenny Barr, he normally is our co-host on Saturday mornings, and he had told me he wasn't going to be able to be on, and so I totally wasn't expecting his call. So, hey, you know what? Much like what you do, sometimes you just got to wing things as they go along, right? It's because sometimes, like you said, you're having a motorcycle do things it just is not meant to do. So let's talk about that, because things can go wrong really bad really quick.
Oh, that's,
what do you,
you seriously, you have to have immediate reaction time. And that's kind of one of the biggest things, like, especially with stoppies, is you just imagine you're on the motorcycle and you're riding along at, like, I don't know, 60 miles an hour, for instance, and you go to hit the front brakes and you want to throw the bike up in the air and go on the front tire. Like, you don't know if you're going to hit a patch of gravel. You don't know if you're going to hit a patch of dust, if the tire is going to slide, things like that, you know. And it's just, you have to have immediate reaction time to where you can modulate the front brake system. You can use your body control on top of the bike to be able to move it side to side or do what you need to do to be able to keep it from crashing. And I think that actually doing what we do makes you such a better fundamentally rider, just because you start to realize and feel the motorcycle and how it reacts on different surfaces. And it's kind of crazy how it just makes your mind start to think and work and expand. Like, I've done shows anywhere from dirt to concrete, polished concrete, grass, and it's always fun trying to figure out how the motorcycle is going to react on different surfaces. And so,
let me ask you this: Dave, you drive the 2012 Haesong GT 650. Talk with me a little bit about why you chose that bike as opposed to the other types of bikes, and what makes that bike the bike that you've got into a comfort zone with.
We wanted to be a little bit different, you know, because everybody in the entire competition series, there are no V-twins. Every single one of them is all inline fours. They all have the same sound, the same speed, the same style. And they're fantastic bikes that they use, and they're great for what for competition use. But I just wanted to be different, you know. It's like nobody has a V-twin, and they're not doing the tricks of today on V-twins. And, well, I teamed up with Hyosung out of Korea, and they're a fantastic company. They got a fantastic bike, and they really want to have some help trying to do some R&D work to make an even better bike. And they want to get some great promotion here in the United States. And, you know, we teamed up. We created a program. We're doing a Freestyle America Tour. You know, we're traveling all over from California to New York to Florida and showcasing these bikes. And it's been a little bit of a struggle trying to do some of the R&D work on it, just trying to figure out different quirks because nobody's ever done it before. But, you know, we came in ninth in the world last year, and I'm doing pretty well and still excelling. We're finding more and more ways to get her back to the top. And it's just a fun, fun bike, you know, so much low-end torque being the V-twin. It's a drift monster. It's so crazy. Like, you go and do a competition, it doesn't matter what any four competitors are doing. Like, if they have their little inline four and they're, you know, tootling around doing some tricks at the other end, all I'd have to do is just do a power wheelie right past everybody, and everybody just focuses on me and that motorcycle just because it's so loud and it just grasps your attention.
Unbelievable. And I say this to our dragsters that come on, but at least there's some control there. And in other words, they know from point A to point B that they're getting there. With you, it's very, very varies. And I always ask, you know, people, especially in the NHRA or any of the other race car drivers that we talk to, the racers that we talk to, always ask, how do you train for the worst-case scenario? What do you do? Do you just allow the bike to go naturally and you just flow with the bike, or do you try to get the heck off of that bike before it gets on top of you?
Depending on which kind of a trick you're doing, like over the years I've kind of tried to develop different ways to get away from different tricks if they go bad. Normally, like, if you're in a practice situation where, you know, you're in a closed course environment away from everything as far as safety aspect, because that's one big thing we seriously take to heart too, as far as the safety of the sport and getting it out there in right limelight. But you're right, it does happen. Crashes do happen, and just I've kind of been dubbed the I've perfected the Sonic the Hedgehog role. So like if you're doing a stoppie and if it washes, if it rolls, if it, you know, bucks a little bit, just basically trying to jump off and get away from the bike, or if you get high sided off the motorcycle. It's so hard to judge, you know, because you're basically trying to control that crash until the very, 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 very last moment. And you just have to be quick thinking and try and use your feet, use your hands, whatever you can to kind of roll away from the bike and catch it so it, you know, doesn't go anywhere else. But
now you're known for
I do got to say, though, thank God for, like, Western Power Sports and Fly Street Gear, because I will say, like, we have a lot of guardian angels and we can crash with a lot of finesse, but if it wasn't for companies like that, you know, we would have a lot more broken bones and stitches and things like that. But they make great footwear, shin guards, knee guards, elbow pads, back protectors. You know, we wear the full gear whenever we're in competition. Draco jeans, like Kevlar inlaid jeans. It's, you know, as far as like the protective aspect of our sport, there's so many companies that are developing new products to kind of help us do what we do so we don't get injured.
Right, absolutely. And injury, I think above any of a lot of the racing injuries there, but in yours, it's a pretty regular occurrence. Now, I know you're known for your high energy riding, your target stoppies, and technical riding ability. Some of your favorite tricks include the circle combo, the precision stoppies, and drifting and full throttle riding. Talk with me about those tricks.
Oh man, target stoppies. We used to actually have a full competition where you're rolling on the front wheel and you basically have to do target stoppies. So you're turning left to right. You're zoning in on a target that you have to get to. I don't know if anybody will be able to get up here this weekend, but we're probably going to be doing some stoppie kiss action too, where like I will take somebody out of the crowd and I will roll a stoppie up to them from, you know, I don't know, about 100 feet away, and they have to stand there and then kiss my helmet whenever I get up to them while I'm still in the air. So I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that one's a pretty good crowd pleaser. That's a lot of fun. I give whoever comes out props because it, you know, my motorcycle being a V-twin, it's actually over 500 pounds. So Anybody that can stand there while I come up on the front wheel like that, I give them major, major courageous points there. But, yeah, well, I just like the circle wheelie combos. You know, you're on the back wheel doing a lot of different variations, doing wheelies and circles. And, you know, being on the V-twin, man, I got to be full throttle all the time. So,
now, how does your competition vary from competition to competition? Do they judge you on the trick? Do they judge you on speed, a combination thereof? How do you win a competition in your sport?
A lot of it is a combination of all of that. Because we definitely get judged on those four variations of tricks. We've got the wheelies, stoppies, acrobatics, burnouts, and then drifting is incorporated into the burnout category. But then we also have the variations of wheelies. So if you're doing like high chair wheelies, spreader wheelies, circle wheelies, foot drags, things like that, and then stoppies and different variations of stoppies. Because I know you understand like we're on the front wheel, but we also do like one-handed stoppies, spreader stoppies, our feet over the front stoppies, things like that. So you kind of get judged on different tricks in each category. And then you have the execution of the trick, which is how well you perform that trick. And then you also have to have a good flow with your run. Like, you don't want any downtime. We only have about 90 seconds to put our full run together. So if there's even, you know, half a second of downtime during that, you're going to get docked for it. And then you also have the entertaining portion of it, which is, you got to interact with the crowd, you know, you got to get the crowd pumped up because everybody wants to see a good show. So you kind of get judged on how well you interact with the crowd. Is the crowd having a good time? And it's just the big overall of it, how well your flow is and, you know, if you had any bobbles, things like that.
So let me ask you this. Now, are you going to be in the XDL National Championship this year?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know how that was determined on whether or not you were going to be there. I know that that's something that you guys talk a lot about. So talk with me about the XDL Sport Bike Freestyle Championship that's coming up soon.
The XDL National Championship Series is actually, it's a full-blown points race series. It's a lot like the NASCAR points race series. So we go from tour stop to tour stop. So last year, you know, we went from My Rock in D.C. We were out in L.A., the Queen Mary, Indianapolis MotoGP. We actually work with the MotoGP, and we shut down downtown Indianapolis. Do you know where the War Memorial is at, I'm sure?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is probably just about everybody's most favorite event because we actually shut down, I think it's North Street right next to Meridian, right in front of the War Memorial, and we shut down the full War Memorial Park, and it's like a big vending area. They set up a big stage, it's kind of like a festival inside the War Memorial, and then we have our competition on that street. And then we bring in the bleachers, the barricades, and everything else. It's such a fantastic event to be a part of because it's where our sport came from, was from the streets. Like, I haven't even rode on the streets in probably like 4 years, you know, but it's just getting that feel, and all the street riders that come in, they have that nighttime feel. It's all under the lights. It's such a fantastic, phenomenal event to be a part of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and we're always trying to be down at the MotoGP and all of that downtown. I've been down there many times. I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, are you going to be there this year?
As far as I know, yes, we are.
Well, fantastic, because I want to make sure that we make another appointment to talk with you on our show that night and come out there and spend some time with you. And when is that event? Do you have the date of that?
It's going to be in August. I think it's August 17th and 18th.
Well, it's the weekend of the MotoGP anyway, right?
Yep.
And we love the MotoGP here in Indianapolis. Obviously, we're no stranger to big races out there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But let me ask you this. I know it's a completely different race that you do. Have you ever thought about getting out there and racing the GP races that take you around the IMS at that speed?
Everybody has told me I need to get into it. Like, I've had some sponsors that do road racing, and they watch me do the drift racing, and they're like, you need to really get into, you know, AMA and MotoGP racing. I'm like, I'd love to, you know. If I could ever find the time to get away from, you know, either traveling on the road or doing shows. But, yeah, I have huge respect for what they do. I try and imagine myself going that fast around corners, and it's kind of funny. Everybody calls me insane. I look at that and I go, man, you guys are insane.
I think all of you are insane. There's no way. I say that I would love to do it, but there's no way that you would catch me out there doing it. That's for sure.
So now maybe we'll have to get you out for a training course sometime. I'll teach you how to do some wheelies.
Hey, I'm game. I'm game. I gotta sign a whole bunch of disclaimers or disclosures, I guess, I'm sure. Well, talk with me a little bit about your sponsors. Obviously, S&T Motors, Hisung, you ride their bike.
We've been working on that developmental program, the R&D research, which is – it actually kind of works out for my benefit because I have an engineering degree from the General Motors Institute, Kettering University up in Flint, Michigan, and – you know, being able to incorporate my engineering background into that R&D platform and program has been a great job. And I get to ride for them and have a fun time doing it. But, yeah, Hyosung Motors, you know, one of the greatest V-twins that I've ever rode. And Western Power Sports, big distributor, tons of great, great product all across the nation. Fly Street Gear, you know, they keep me protected from, you know, from my knees all the way to my head. They've got fantastic, fun helmets to wear. Draco jeans, which is that Kevlar inlaid jeans that I was telling you about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Kinko tires. Have you ever seen the colored smoke tires?
I have not. Well, no. I just don't know them by the name.
If you do a burnout, it actually puts out different colored smoke.
They call it the
Shinko smoke bomb, and that seems to be a crowd favorite on the drift bike, you know, because everybody likes to see the colored smoke coming out. Yeah, Shinko tires, they keep us the rubber to the road. And a small shop out of Fort Wayne, Indiana called One Off Custom Designs. They've done a ton of support build on that drift bike that I have right now. And, you know, there's just a bunch of handful of companies out there that are supporting our, you know, our full competition series, converter bars. We got Sargent's Motorsports out in Portland, Oregon. You know, we've got support all across the nation. I can't thank the guys enough.
Now, what do you say to the young kids who are out there who are just getting started and mom and dad saying, don't do that on your bicycle? Is there a lead way from the bike to the skateboard to your type of racing, or did you just jump on a motorcycle and say, look, mom, no hands?
Pretty much, look, mom, no hands. I find it kind of funny because everybody, you know, after they see a show, they come up and they don't expect to hear what my background's been. You know, I grew up on the farm until I was 18, and I went to engineering college, and I worked for General Motors. And while I was in college doing my internships at General Motors, you know, two of my buddies, you know, conned me into buying a bike. I'm like, why do I want to buy one of those? And they're like, oh, man, you can pick up chicks. And I'm like, well, I'm sold then, you know.
There you go. That's so, all you got to do, man.
You know?
Go ahead.
I never even started riding motorcycles until I was 22 years old, you know, and that was 9 years ago. So here I am today. It just takes a lot of practice, you know, practicing the fundamentals. And just the thing I try and tell all the kids, like, our sport's definitely going to grow. It's going to be one of the, you know, one of the biggest extreme sports to kind of hit the world face. It's growing so fast over in Indonesia and other countries all across the world, you know. For kids to start getting involved with it, It's such a fun sport to get involved with, and it makes you such a better rider all around. The only thing I stress heavily is just wear as much protective gear as you possibly can. You know, you got to have the helmet, you got to have the boots, you got to have the gloves. You know, just make sure that you're fully protected whenever you're going out to do this kind of stuff.
Now, I know you were born in Decatur. Obviously, you've got a mechanical engineering degree, and you work for General Motors, and you basically said, screw this suit life. I got another life I want to do. You lived out in Atlanta.
That's pretty much what it was, you know. Yeah. I was sitting there. I was trying to juggle the engineering life during the week and the motorcycle freestyle life on the weekends. And before you know it, like, I had a huge opportunity to go travel Europe for about 3 months. And it just kind of came to a headway of, you know, I think the Lord just kind of placed a fork in my path and said, you got to choose which way you're going to go. And, you know, I decided to go ahead and, you know, say thank you, General Motors, for your fantastic time. And I moved down to Atlanta, and I went to go travel Europe, and I did shows all over Europe and came back, and we started the Borny Freestyle business in Atlanta. I met my wonderful fiance, PJ Smith, down there, and she's been, honestly, like, she's been the glue that's been holding everything together ever since. So if it wasn't for her, I certainly wouldn't be here today, and it's such a blessing to have her in my life. And she's helped us, you know, keep this thing going, and it's just been a fantastic life. It's taken me so many places that I never even thought I would ever get to see.
So is your fiance, is she a race fan? Is she all in? Is she drink the Kool-Aid, or is she close her eyes every time you get out there and start doing your tricks?
It took her a little while to get used to it. She actually, whenever she was 17, she had a moped accident. So whenever I met her, I heard about that story. I didn't even tell her what I did for like probably 3 weeks. It was kind of funny. But then once she saw what I did and she saw the control, and then, you know, we just kind of eased her into the lifestyle, and then it was just like full throttle for her. She was like, this is awesome, you know. And we're actually been working together to start doing more tandem stunts. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's like where two people get on the motorcycle and they get to do tricks together. So we've been developing that whole show format, and we actually have a full competition series for the tandem too. So we'll see. We'll probably start diving into that too, you know.
So you do get to have another person on there with you, okay? So, see, now IndyCar's got their two-seaters, so you guys are going to have a contest where you get to allow somebody to ride on the bike with you and do tricks?
Oh, yeah.
Man,
that's
incredible. Well, I know we got you for just a little bit time today, and I apologize that things ran a little bit late for us today. I know you as a organization, you support Habitat for Humanity and obviously other charities, and we just talked with a little bit about what you're doing up there in Auburn. But is there personally any charity that you would like to mention that you personally like to give your name to and help out anytime you personally can?
The one thing, we try and do raffles, and we try and just raise as much money and awareness as we possibly can. It's definitely Operation Smile, and that's what we try and, you know, collect money to be able to send it overseas, because that's where they actually do a lot of operations on cleft lips and palates and things like that, and it's such a fantastic organization that they have developed. And like you said, Habitat for Humanity, I started getting involved with them back whenever I was in college, and, you know, just being able to give back any time I possibly can, and that's, you know, that's what we try and do every moment that we possibly can. And now after meeting the guys from Shepherd's House up in Fort Wayne and being able to talk to Kenny, I think we're going to definitely get more involved with them as well.
Oh, it's a fantastic organization. And I want to make sure that we get the right information for your charity up on our social media. Where can people find them, connect to them? Is it Pallets? What's it called?
Oh, it's Operation Smile.
Operation Smile. Okay. So, and where can people find Operation Smile, donate, and learn more about it? And we'll get all of that up on our social media as
If you go onto my page on the charities link, it's actually right up on there. It should be operationsmile.org, I believe.
Okay. We'll do that, and we'll get it all put up there. Josh, I can't
tell
you.
That's fantastic. I greatly appreciate that. I really appreciate that.
Oh, anything that we could do to help you out, we're all about it. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make it up there to Auburn. But I can tell you one thing. If you're here in Indianapolis, we're going to stay in touch with you. If you're here in Indianapolis, we're definitely going to connect with you downtown there on MotoGP weekend. Absolutely, for a fact. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about, that you'd like to let us know about you, your sport, or anything at all?
Oh man, I could sit here and talk for another about 4 hours. You know, it's kind of one thing that PJ makes fun of me. Whenever I get on the mic, I'll just keep blah 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 going on.
You're more than welcome.
I mean,
just me a break.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys bringing us on here today and just being able to talk about the sport and, you know, giving it some limelight, because it's such an intense sport, and, you know, we seriously have to be in the top condition all the time trying to do what we're doing, and just getting more. Light onto the sport and showcasing what we do with these motorcycles and getting people to understand it. It's just, I love talking to people about the sport. But yeah, definitely check out our national competition series is actually going to be going worldwide next year. So that's something to keep an eye on too. Instead of bringing all the worldwide riders to us, we're going to start going to them. So we're going to really start finding the best of the best around the world. But yeah, you can check all that stuff out on xdlshow.com. And they got a bunch of Facebook pages too. Check them out. It's XDL Street Bike Freestyle Championship Series. And then also, you know, just keep an eye out on our website. You know, we're actually, I just got an email yesterday. Apparently, I thought I was going to get a vacation here after this Auburn trip. But that doesn't look like it's the case, because it looks like we're actually going to be going to Peru, South America right after the 4th of July. So back on the road, we're going to go down there, do some shows in Peru. And
well, that's awesome.
you know, hopefully come the time for our wedding, we'll actually be able to get a real vacation when we go on a honeymoon.
You're not going to go to a bike race, are you?
No, I think we're going to go somewhere warm and sunny with some adult beverages just to kick back and throw the phones away, you know?
I don't blame you at all. Josh Bourne, and I tell you what, obviously the connection there to the Bourne identity is just amazing. And I know that's pure coincidental, but, you know, that's got to be your theme movie.
Yeah. I love that movie, and I get that a lot. As funny as it is, I had a signature shoe for a little while that was named Bourne Identity.
Oh, wow. Well, Josh Bourne, one of the nation's premier street bike freestyle athletes, has joined us today. And Josh, we really appreciate you bringing your passion for street bikes that I know that you say began a little bit later in life. And you bought your first motorcycle while earning your bachelor's degree. Exciting story of things that you've talked with us about. And thank you for bringing the freestyle and the street bike racing to our show today. And we wish you luck and safety up there in Auburn. And we hopefully will connect with you when you get here to Indianapolis. Where can people find your work, stalk you, or follow you, or anything?
Yeah, you know, we've got the full social media. You can check that all out from BornyFreestyle.com. You know, I'm up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We've got a ton of pictures on Instagram. You know, it's Borny Freestyle. It's, you know, just click that right in there and I'll come right up. But yeah, I want to say thank you. Thanks for bringing us on today. It was great talking to you. And you better believe it, when we get back from Peru, I'm going to find you and we're going to go do some wheelies, all right?
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If you don't mind a grown man screaming like a girl, I'm all for it, buddy. All right, Josh.
Yeah, definitely, man.
You have yourself a good day, sir.
All right, take care, bud.
All right. Josh Bourne, freestyle racing motorcycle racer, joining us today. Wow, what an exciting life he lives. And I tell you what, he takes no prisoners and he lives life on a thrill. But it was good to get to know the person behind him and everything that he does. So, Josh, thanks for joining us. Guys, we're going to take a break. And we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more racing. Then it'll be time for Meet Your Makers right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Let's have 1,000 horses loose. Grab a gear and hit the juice. I'll take a shot at making his story. Time to go with do or die. A fuel injection
of a... Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Speed Talk is a show about racing, both national and local.
We also give our opinions and thoughts on the happenings of the week.
On top of that, we also include interviews from all tiers of racing.
And don't forget the segment Do You Know, which gives you more knowledge than you can handle.
Really, Kenny? More knowledge than we can handle?
Join Tom, Kenny, and me, Cliff, weekly on Speed Talk as we give you the lowdown on the racing world.
Catch us on The Balance and other affiliates weekly.
Don't forget to visit us at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, the racing show you won't soon forget.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquess. What a great interview that was with Josh Bourne. Bourne Freestyle Motorcycle Racing. Unbelievable stories. You need to check him out. Get up there to Auburn, Indiana, and check it out this weekend. I tell you what, an incredible, incredible interview. And I'm looking forward to connecting with him here at the MotoGP weekend here in Indianapolis for the street racing dynamics. I tell you what, if you've never been down to that, that's incredible. We're counting down, though. Coming up at 10:30, MMA fighter Chris Lytle's going to be joining us. Really excited about having him on and talking about his sport as well. And so we're going to be talking to him, and we're also going to be breaking down some of this stuff with going on with Aaron Hernandez and the NBA draft. So fear not, my balance minions, that sports still is alive, and we bring it alive to you here on the balance. Well, we've only got we miss our guys at Radio Speed Talk, Kenny and Cliff. And Kenny, thanks for giving us a call. I know you're out at Winchester today doing the race thing, doing the work thing. We appreciate you joining us. We were talking a little bit about the race out in Kentucky. We've got just a few minutes to talk about that. 917-889-8516. And, you know, here we go again. Danica is back in it again, obviously responding to Kyle Petty's criticism, if you will. And who has some criticism for Danica Patrick? Raise your hand. But yet, I guess, apparently, she's taking back or, she got her feelings hurt again. I tell you what, despite having less than two full years in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, Danica Patrick, really, and we've talked about it here on the show, she's very marketable. She has certainly one of the most recognizable names in NASCAR history. But while she, and this is from Kyle Petty, by the way, while she may be a marketing machine, now this is again according to former Kyle Petty, former driver Kyle Petty, she is not a race car driver. Kyle Petty, I think a lot of people might agree with you on that. And I know for a fact our producer and social media would agree with you. In an interview that aired Tuesday on Speed, NASCAR's Race Hub, Petty said that Patrick is a hot commodity, and rightfully so, but she is no race car driver. Well, Patrick said, "What do you mean? I am too a race car driver. I am so. Quit saying that I'm not. I am so." Oh, Danica, and a Q&A segment. And, you know, obviously talking to her about practice and the reaction to the Chicago Blackhawks, because she's a big Blackhawk fan. Her reaction to Kyle Petty, though, the question was asked her, have you read Kyle Petty's comments that you're not a race car driver? And typical Danica fashion says, and I quote, "Read it? Yes. I think it's just that it's just funny how he said that I could qualify, but I can't race. Because those of you that actually watch what I do will know that I can't qualify for crap. In the race, things go much better. It's a little bit funny, but the most important thing to me is that I keep my team happy and we're moving forward in the right direction. That GoDaddy is happy. There you go. Let's keep GoDaddy happy." I think James Hinchcliffe is doing a good job of keeping GoDaddy happy. Danica, you're a great commodity. I agree with Kyle Petty. You're no race car driver. And you can't qualify for crap either. So, there you have it. Danica Patrick is in the spotlight again. And, you know, it is what it is. And Danica, like, well, Kyle Petty said it right. You know, she is a marketing person to have around, but no race car driver. But
her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
And there you have it, guys. There you have it. That's going to close out our racing segment of the show. I tell you what, I really, really want to make sure that we take time to thank Josh Bourne, freestyle motorcycle racer. Unfreaking believable. And you know what? You heard him. He said it right here. He put me to a challenge. When he gets back from Peru, he's going to look me up and go take me out and do some wheelies. I'm all about it. connect with Josh and the MotoGP guys when they get here in town. He's up at Auburn doing the show. Get up there and check him out. We're going to take a break. When we get back, it's going to be time to jump right into this week's Meet Your Makers.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
He is Twitterless Tom Wolf.
He is Toyota
Kenny Barr.
And that is Snapless Cliff Tanner.
Together, we're the team of Speed Talk.
And although our limited social skills may be lacking,
our racing knowledge and opinions are not.
If you want to know about local and national racing, go check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
While you're at it, catch us on The Balance and other local affiliates.
Speed Talk, where most shows don't even dare to tread.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Okay, it's time to slow down here on The Balance and meet your makers. Tom talks with Brad and Chris from Tecure, a food anthology. You can visit them on the web at tecurefood.com to find out more about them and this worthy cause. Now here's your host, Tom Marquis.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. And do we have Josh? I mean, do we have Chris and...
Tom?
Yeah, I can barely hear you. I think you're going to have to turn down your radio or something. We got feedback really bad. There we go. I think we can hear you much, much, much better.
What's going on, Tom?
What's going on, Brad and Chris? Meet your makers of food anthology. Now, before we get into your segment, I don't know if you guys heard any of our last segment. We had Josh Bourne, freestyle motorcycle racer, on. Incredible. Have you guys ever seen those freestyle racers?
I don't know that I have.
Well, put it this way. You know the street bikes, the motorcycles that you see and, you know, all the chicks are chasing after them. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So going 60, 70 miles an hour, slamming on the front brake, spinning your body up, doing some wheelies, doing some spin outs, back on the bike and going forward again. That's freestyle.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Pretty sweet.
Well, I've been invited when he gets back from Peru to go out and do some wheelies. So, you know, I may have to take him up on that. So,
are you a motorcyclist, Tom?
Man, I love to. I don't own one right now. As much as I'd like to own one, I don't own one. And I'm a crotch rocket kind of guy. But
yeah.
You know, I'm getting to that age where maybe I need to admit I need to get one of those bikes with a big antenna and a microphone in my helmet and a two-seater. And
you get to talk it down.
But I tell you what, we'll get right into your segment here in a second. But I tell you one thing I have been looking at is that new Spider. It looks like a big old three-wheeler, but it's a motorcycle. It's pretty cool. It's actually pretty cool. We're speaking with Brad and Chris, and Chris, sorry about your Bruins, bro. Sorry about your Bruins. We just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, we didn't quite make it.
we'll get on. We'll move on. We'll move on past that. Well, guys, I know you guys have had a busy week, and again, as always, So let's just kind of jump into this. You left the conference, and now you're in Chicago for a couple days. And so talk with me a little bit about what has happened there in the Chicago area. And you guys have connected with some small producers and stores that really call the that make the Midwest roots going on there.
Absolutely, yeah. So like you said, we did leave the conference last Saturday and kind of made our way down to the Windy City in Chicago. We had a pretty low key time in Chicago, honestly. The first people that we saw was an organization called Midwest Roots. And so because Chris and I are kind of taking an academic approach to this thing, in addition to seeing like all these awesome just like wholesale producers and things like that, the Midwest Roots organization works with a lot of these small batch producers to market them, to brand them, to help with their social media, to make sure they get into stores, to kind of act as a face for some of these companies that otherwise aren't able to do it themselves because they're too small. They don't have the time. They don't necessarily have the interest. They may not even have the skill to do so themselves. So they're pretty much food brokers, I guess, in the end. But they're really doing a lot of interesting things with some producers in the upper Midwest. And Chris and I just kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about their model. So we went to kind of a local butcher shop and a cafe, chatted with them for a couple hours, and it's great to hear all the interesting things that they're doing. Afterwards, we went to Atlas Brewing Company, which is a brew pub that's been open for about a year now. Ben is the head brewer there, and he walked us through his brewing process. We got to taste pretty much the whole lineup, and you know, him and his brother there, they're kind of nerdy guys, but they are awesome, and they're making a really good beer.
Today is their one-year celebration, actually.
Oh,
they are turning a pig on a spit.
I love anything about turning a pig on a stick. I love it. Now, you guys obviously went out to Madison, Wisconsin, hip college town. So talk with me a little bit about that and some artesian crackers. What's an artesian cracker? What makes it any different than a saltine?
That's a great question, Tom, and it's something that we've been asking the cracker makers that we've been visiting. But it's, Potter's Crackers there at Madison doing some really awesome things with organic, very wholesome ingredients, very, very flavorful crackers, and they're very connected to their process. Everybody's there pressing the dough out by hand. They're rolling it, they're chopping things by hand, very hands-on process. That's a big part of what makes an artisan cracker an artisan cracker and not a saltine. It's not a mechanized process.
And she uses a lot of really cool ingredients, too. Like, there's a rhubarb cracker, caramelized onion, like slow-roasted caramelized onion, some flaxseed type of things, just a lot of, like whole grain nuts included. So it's a little bit more flavorful and certainly more nutritious than just your average saltine. And, we also, just yesterday, actually, I was thinking about the saltines and some cheese whiz, but we went to go see a dairy company just outside of Madison and Upland Cheese Company. And we met with Andy, the head cheese maker there, and he is killing it. They only do two cheeses, which is actually fairly unusual for, an artisan cheese maker. One in the summer, one in the winter. The two cheeses that they do very, very well. It's probably the highest decorated cheese in the country as far as the number of awards that it's won from the American Cheese Society, which is kind of like the governing body of cheese makers in the country. It's a big competition every year. Andy is killing it with some of their artisan cheeses up there. And he sent us on the road with probably a big pound and a half chunk of cheese. So we're going to be noshing on that over the next couple of days as we head west.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I enjoyed that country ham that you guys left me. Little salty, but it was good. I forgot about how salty country ham can be. Now, you guys, and the Man of Steel, whichever one of you guys is that, spent the night at Walmart. How did you end up there? Or do I even want to know?
Yeah, well, you know, we're calling it Walmartisanal. That's kind of the opposite, kind of the antithesis of everything else that we're doing, because Walmart is just really the opposite. But because they are so big, they have really big parking lots, and it is really kosher, I guess, if you stay the night there. So we find a parking spot in the shadiest area that we can find. Usually it's those parking lots that lit up like, I don't know, they're bright. But we find a cozy spot. We put up the curtain around the side here of the big 20-foot touring van, and we settle in for the evening. So we've actually done that 3 or 4 times now, Walmart parking lot.
Now let me ask you this: when you guys are camping out with Old Blue and the stash on the front there, and you guys are camping out, and maybe there's some local authorities that don't really understand what you're doing. Have you ever been, let's put it this way, have you ever been questioned as to why you're sleeping in a Walmart parking lot by anyone other than myself?
No, not really. The authorities, I mean, we've been stuck in some parking lot, Tom, where there's a traveling security guard that patrols a lot. I tell you, those are the best ones. You get free security. You don't have to worry about your stuff getting stolen. But usually when we're parked down in a lot, there are a couple other cars or RVs doing the exact same thing. So it's a pretty widely known camping spot. Yeah, it surprised the heck out of me, too, that this is something that people do. But
it's a whole community, huh? Walmart campers.
Yeah, there's RVs, there's people just in their car. It's a good way to think about neighborhoods.
And all this time, I was spending money on a hotel on road trips. What was I thinking?
You're silly, Tom. You're silly. What? I tell you, Tom,
I'm silly.
We've been on the road now for 1 month and 10 days, and we haven't paid for a single night of lodging.
Times is hard. I'll send you my bill. No, I'm just kidding. you're welcome to crash here any time that you guys want to. Now, you guys, I saw a picture on Instagram, and I just want to clear up a bet, if you will. There was a picture on Instagram. To me, it looked like a picture of beer. To somebody else that we know, said that was apple juice.
Oh, apple juice? There's no. Probably, definitely beer. I highly doubt it was apple juice, Tom. I believe that was at the University of Wisconsin Student Union Terrace in Madison. And they have a wonderful little thing there, a big open patio, and they allow their students to kind of socialize. And it was so we were, you know, encouraged by several people to go check that out as part of Madison Life. It's right on the lake. There's hundreds of people out there. There's sailboats. Beautiful. Beautiful. I don't know. I mean, it's only college campus I've seen or something like that, isn't it? But if people want to think it's apple juice, people can think it's apple juice. It's whatever floats your boat. Exactly right.
Well, whatever floats your boat. Well, you guys are on the road headed out to North Carolina, but before you do that, I mean, not North Carolina, North Dakota, I apologize. Isn't that where you guys are headed?
We are. Actually, we're on the road right now. We're heading to South Dakota, actually, because we're in the direction of Mount Rushmore. We should be there by tomorrow morning, hanging out with the dead president. And we are excited to be doing that. It's going to be a 10-hour drive. So that's not the coolest thing in the world. But we will be out of Walmart parking lots, hopefully, for the next few days. And we'll be camping in some really beautiful sites. So we are pretty stoked about that.
Well, I hope it'll be great for you. I do want to talk with you about this Underground Meats, a butcher and a salami maker called Underground Meats. It sounds like a cover to a mafia movie or something, but Underground Meats, a butcher and a salami maker. Talk with me about that, because I'm all about the meat, man. I love these herbs and these little things that we're doing cool for the world. But bring me the meat. I'm a meat kind of guy.
Bring you the meat. All right, Tom, I'll bring you the meat.
John Hunter's going to bring you to me, hopefully.
I don't want any of you guys to bring you to me.
You'll get it one way or another. But, yeah, Underground Meat is the name actually came from when Johnny, who's the owner there, was an undergrad at, or maybe he was a graduate, I don't know, at UW-Madison there. He started basically selling food from his basement or the basement of a library or something like that, church, something like that, where they had a kitchen. And he was selling these meals for super, super cheap, all volunteer labor. Ended up that they would be selling 200, 250 meals by the time noon rolls around. So he's a pretty accomplished cook and really has this kind of social mission to give good food to, and provide work and whatever for the community. But anyway, so based on the popularity of that, he kind of turned it into it's a catering company they're doing. It's a cured meat, like a processing plant. I wouldn't say plant, it's tiny. Just a bunch of people cutting down meat and turning it into salami. They also have a butcher shop as well. But it was really cool to see. So we got there a little bit late in the day, so we didn't get a chance to see, like, you know, the whole, they bring in whole hogs. So they cut them down from start to finish, and that way you have all the component parts of the animal, and in order to use the whole animal, you have to be able to be pretty ingenious. And, you know, people traditionally figured that out, and that's why they created so many different kinds of, not just raw meats to sell in different varieties, but also all these cured meats where you can use the intestines, you can use some of, like, the parts that otherwise aren't particularly edible on their own as whole protein, and you can also preserve them. So that's really kind of the rationale of using the whole hog and preserving it. But, yeah, he's doing some really interesting stuff. They're right now, they only sell in Wisconsin, but they're working on getting an FDA license, or USDA license with somebody that will allow them to ship across state lines. So hopefully we'll see them in store shelves in Indianapolis, hopefully sometime soon, because it's all like delicious stuff.
Well, I'm going to let you guys get to your trip to North Dakota. Now, I was going to plan on hand. I just didn't get it loaded. But next week when you guys are on, are you guys actually going to be at Mount Rushmore, where you've already gone past that?
We'll have gone past. We'll be at Mount Rushmore tonight. That's tomorrow morning.
Well, we look forward to the pictures. I was going to play the dead presidents going to the country. I had it already, but I thought I had an extra week, so I didn't get it. I didn't get it loaded, guys. Well, hey, I tell you what, we're going to let you guys go and get about your road. I hope you have a safe trip. Anything that we haven't discussed today that you guys would like to briefly say before we end our segment for today?
Well, as we head out, Tom, we'll be passing through South Dakota, Mount Rushmore, and Montana. From Montana, we'll be heading towards the Seattle and Portland area, which is where we'll check in with folks next week. As always, you can follow us on our website, www.2purefood.com, or Twitter and Instagram, @2purefood, and, of course, our Facebook as well.
All right,
always, thanks for having us.
Hey, always, guys, always. And be careful in those Walmart parking lots. Hey, real quickly, Brad, have you had enough espresso today?
Oh, I have had some espresso today. It was early morning and a fairly late night. It's actually been a fairly late night the last few nights in Madison and here in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a fun town. I wouldn't have thought so, but it's a really young, fun town. So the espresso picture will be coming later, Tom. I haven't had a chance to upload it yet.
All right, we'll be looking for it. All right, you guys, you have yourself a safe trip and enjoy Mount Rushmore.
All right,
buddy, we'll talk to you soon. Brad and Chris on their food anthology on Meet Your Makers. We'll be right back, guys. We're going to break down this Aaron Hernandez thing and the NBA draft. Congratulations to IU. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubbers speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the occasion and put your hands in the air.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Arquess, El Presidente, and always good to talk to Brad and Chris on the road with Meet the Makers and their adventures, and a lot of fun that they have out there on the road, living the life, that's for sure. 917-889-8516 is the digit. You want to call? Talk a little bit about Aaron Hernandez. I want to talk a little bit about the NBA. Got a few minutes open mic, and then we're going to be having Chris Lytle coming up here at 10:30. So, you know, hey, you know, us media guys, we have all kinds of connections, and we have different people's cell phone numbers that really are made public to a lot of people. But we do have the ability to have some. So, you know, I was just looking through my stuff when I was doing some show prep for the show today, and I came across Aaron Hernandez's phone number. So I thought, well, you know, I'd give him a call live on the air today. I don't know. I'm assuming that he's got some sort of pre-recorded message, you know, because a lot of people probably call on his cell phone. Did he get rid of it? I don't know, but you know, I do this thing where I like to just call people randomly. So I just thought we would just call, because I have his cell phone number here, and I thought I would just call that. So let's just see what happens here when I call that number.
Hey. Yo, what up? This is Aaron Hernandez of the New England Patriots.
Formerly of the New England Patriots.
I can't take your call right now because I'm in jail, bitches. And because I destroyed my cell phone.
Allegedly?
Yeah, whatever. So what if I destroyed my phone? And so what if I destroyed my home security system?
Allegedly?
And so what if I hired a cleaning crew to scrub down my house?
Allegedly?
So what if surveillance footage shows me leaving my house that night with a gun?
You mean allegedly?
And so what if I was seen with the murder victim right before the murder?
The alleged murder?
That's all just circumcision evidence.
Circumstantial evidence. How fucking dumb are you?
Whatevs. Didn't Ray Lewis allegedly have the same situation? And he went on to win a Super Bowl. I'll be fine.
Aaron, you're not gonna be fine.
Whatevs. At least nobody's talking about Tim Tebow anymore.
Legal disclaimer. All characters appearing in the preceding message are fictitious. Any resemblance to real person...
Well, that's what happens when you call Aaron Hernandez's phone. That's the message you get. I knew he'd have some sort of pre-recorded message. Really? This guy is toast. This story just gets more and more bizarre as we move along. Now, if you remember, Of course, he's denied everything, and maybe rightfully and legally he should. But there's just been so many different things. This guy, and then maybe you want to ask yourself, how in the world did New England, I mean, I don't know, any team, I guess, but it was New England. It's really surprising the background and the vetting that they do, how they ended up picking up Aaron Hernandez. Now, I'm not talking about from his pure talent aspect. Now, obviously, he's a very talented football player. Certainly, obviously, let's put that aside. The thing is, you could be a great person at a job you do. You know, I'm great at my job. Maybe I'm not the greatest, but I think that I'm good at my job. But if I left my office and I go and I kill somebody, or I get arrested, any of those things now make me wonder, you know, if I was a company, shouldn't I have looked deeper into that background? I guess because, you know, every company when you get hired has a background search. And obviously with the NFL, they vet their players very, very, very well. Now, and of course, he's not the only player to ever get in trouble. And not the only player to ever be charged for murder. Ray Lewis. Obviously beat the case, come back to win a Super Bowl. He was proven innocent. Did he do it? That's according to the court of law, he didn't do it. But this is two completely different things. And I just think that this Aaron Hernandez thing could have been avoided a long time, at least from the aspect of us talking about it. I think... Yeah. Here's the thing, and it goes back, we've talked about it on the show before, and I'm sure we'll talk about it again, is these guys need some mentoring. Like Tony Dungy did, for example, for Michael Vick. Michael Vick did wrong, did his time, got out of jail, and came back to the NFL, and listened to a lot of people around him. Well, at least what we want to believe him based on what has happened, he has did a great job, maybe not as a comeback football player, but a great job of staying out of trouble and not getting back into the system. Aaron Hernandez had a checkered board pass. There was issues in his past that should have been picked up on, and then he should have been guided and mentored as far as that goes. And I just think that the NFL just drop the ball. Just drop the ball. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Who didn't drop the ball? It was the NBA draft. Congratulations to the IU guys coming out of IU. Two number one draft picks in the first round. I haven't seen that in a while. Congratulations to Victor Oladipo, or Home Depot as we like to call him here at the Balance. Going to the Orlando Magic. Says he'll always remember Indiana, and was glad to be a part of it. Also, Cody Zeller, big man Cody Zeller from down in Washington, Indiana, gets a job with the Charlotte Bobcats. Congratulations to him as well. Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to jump in. I showed you at the beginning of the show today that we are going to have a jam-packed show, and I have not let you down. So we're gonna jump right into that. We've got a great guest coming up here in just a few moments here, right after the break. And you've heard me tease about it, and we've tweeted about it. We have getting ready to join us is Lights Out Chris Lytle from right here in Indiana, but obviously one of the top names in the MMA fighting arena. And so we're going to have him, and I think Gene Walker is going to try and join us as well. So when we get back, we're going to jump right into that conversation. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, my minions. Don't go away.
I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. If you have bad water in your home or business, whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk, that's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
My minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. That's right. If you didn't know it by now, you have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world and also our affiliate radio stations. And all over the state of Indiana, we're covered from South Bend all the way to Evansville and all over the United States. Our national show comes live to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. And I told you guys here at the beginning of the show that we would have a great show for you today. And we have not let you down, my minions. Josh Bourne, freestyle motorcycle racer, joining us talking about his show up at Auburn, Indiana, as well as coming back with the MotoGP and gave me an opportunity to go out there and do some wheelies. Now, I'm all about doing that, but this guy standing by with us now, I don't know that I want to engage in his sport, and I'll jump some wheelies, but I don't think I want to get in the cage. Joining us is, and I'm very honored to have, the one, the only, Lights Out Chris Lytle. Chris, how are you doing, sir? Are you with us, sir?
Actually, this is Paul joining you at the moment. Chris will be calling in just a moment here.
Okay. Is Gene, are you on with us?
I am, yes.
All right. Gene Walker, promoter also for MMA. And, Paul, I know you have your own MMA show, radio show, much like we have a sports show. Your show is dedicated exclusively to MMA, and you helped us get the hookup for Chris Lytle, and he'll be calling here soon. So, Paul, tell us a little bit about your show, what it's about. And you said Paul, Chris will be getting in with us here in just a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. What we do is we host a show. It's called MMA Live. Or I'm sorry, it's called Chris Lights Out Live. It's hosted by Chris. And the thing about it is, as everybody knows, MMA is probably the fastest growing sport right now. So we wanted to definitely get an insight on the industry back when it first started. So having Chris on the show and giving us his insight, he also promotes in Indiana as well. So it's just unbelievable to hear the stories of how it came up and maybe what's changing in the sport now. So definitely like for everyone to check it out. We do it two times a month. It's on alternating Tuesdays. So the next show will be July the 2nd at 7 p.m. And you guys can find it on the Blog Talk Radio show under Lights Out Live. So you can also listen to some of the episodes as well. And I know Chris is looking forward to to speaking with you about some of the MMA stuff going on in Indiana as well. So it's pretty pretty good hotbed for MMA, to be honest with you.
Well, and here's the thing, and I want to also bring on Gene Walker, who joins us in a lot of other parts of our show, but has never been able to join us, and we've never really had an MMA segment, and we're going to start forming that together, where we're going to have that maybe once a month or so, and you and Paul and Chris and Gene can get on and talk with us about MMA. And I tell you what, I'm just going to kind of let you guys, just like I did with Josh Bourne in freestyle motorcycle racing, I wanted him to educate us, the audience, about his sport. So I know, Gene, that's what you do in the real world. You're an MMA promoter, if I got the title right. Talk with me about what you do as we stand by. We're waiting for Chris Lytle to join us. Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I'm a manager. I manage fighters is what
okay,
I do.
Manager.
And
then, okay.
Yeah. And when what that entails real shortly is just basically setting up fights with promoters, negotiating contracts, just kind of watching their back, you know, if there's any legal issues, and you know, and various things. And then, you know, just and maybe monitor their training and what you see. I was a judge for 3 years before I became a manager. I come from the world of sports anyway, and so I was kind of on the tip of mixed martial arts. My involvement started just as a casual observer back in the mid-90s, late 90s, and just been growing with it ever since. So I agree with you on that. It's a sport that was literally in the basement many years ago, like a Bad Van Damme movie or something, and it just became something else. So the influence of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, the Gracies, Japanese jiu-jitsu, and it absolutely has taken form. And I think one of the things, and the guy here on the thing will agree with me, though boxing certainly isn't dead, and I still like to watch some good boxing matches, the one thing that MMA has an advantage of other fighting sports is that it's a stew. It's several fighting styles brought together to make one, and that has probably brought us a different audience as well, because you can find fans of each one of those particular arts. And when you put it all together, though some of the purists didn't like it to begin with, the majority of people certainly did, and I think it's just growing on the common guy as well. I think it's the common guy that made this sport, when you realize you didn't have to be the biggest guy in the room to win a fight. There's just been so many things that I think subconsciously has hit this audience that don't necessarily have anything to do with just a specific fight per se that you're watching, that has really drawn this out, and the kids are liking it now. And as you guys all know, once the young generation loves something, it's there to stay, and that's what's happened with MMA for sure.
Well, absolutely, and Paul's joining us as well. We're still standing by for Chris Lytle to join us. Hopefully we can get him on the air with us here in just a moment. Certainly one of the greatest names in MMA fighting. And, you know, me as the novice fan, if you will, and you're right, Paul and Gene, this is certainly one of the fastest-growing sports around, which is one reason why we wanted to make sure that we begin to put a segment together with the sport. We've been talking about this for a while, so the opportunities are starting to put it together, because here on The Balance, really what we do is we just cover the whole gamut of sports. And as we know, we've talked racing earlier, and we do that in the first hour, and so there's a lot of different sports that are going on. So help me understand, either one of you, to this question, what MMA is. Obviously it stands for mixed martial arts fighting. A lot of us older guys, if you will, remember the movie Fight Club, and maybe put the comparison, which there isn't, but it, when it started out, it had a stigma to it that I think that promotions and marketing has done a great job, and ESPN and sports coverages and television coverage did a great job of taking that stigma away. But help me understand, Paul, or Gene for that matter, what MMA is. We understand that it's a mixed martial arts. It's a combination of boxing and a lot of different other martial arts, or a lot of people might call it cage fighting. Paul, but or Gene, educate me a little bit about MMA. What is it?
Yeah, Tom, for sure. I think one thing that's very important about the MMA and how it came around is most people's vision of MMA is Fight Club. However, just recently, you know, these fighters have landed Nike sponsorships. So, I mean, it's a much it's see the evolve or perception of people that think it's a fight club to what it actually is. It's phenomenal. But what I would say, I was a wrestler when I was in school, and then I started learning some jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And just learning those as an athlete, learning those different martial arts and different things like that, it was pretty phenomenal to just be involved with that stuff. So it is a combat fighting that has different, you know, it's like what Bruce Lee used to do. He used to take the best of everything and put it together as a style. So, and that's what you've kind of developed into now. So,
and I think we do now have a Lights Out Chris Lytle. I had that whole big introduction ready for you, and it turned out he wasn't on the line. So we have to do it again. Lights Out Chris Lytle. Chris, so glad that you could join us here on The Balance for the very first time in our very first MMA segment. So welcome to The Balance, and so glad that you could join us. Also is joining us is MMA manager Gene Walker. And you know Paul as well. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This is The Balance. Chris, welcome to The Balance. How's your Saturday going?
Man, fantastic. Sorry about that earlier. I'm actually on vacation up on Lake Michigan here. And where I'm at, I talked to Paul earlier today, and I get in and out of cell range. And sometimes it just cuts off and there's nothing there. So I had to walk some distance to make sure I got a place where I knew I was getting the cell reception.
Oh,
so
no.
That's where I'm at right now.
That's totally good, and we absolutely get it. Well, now let's talk a little bit about you and what you're doing and what you're up to in the MMA. Now, I know, and maybe you can clear this up for me a little bit. Are you back in the fighting circuit? Are you going to be fighting again? Are you fighting again? What's your story where you're at now inside the industry?
Man, I'm not fighting anymore. I retired, and, you know, it's funny. Every now and again, I'll do an interview, and people are saying, you know, would you ever think about coming back? And I always said, no, truth. I'm like, well, I'm not going to say never. You know, if they offered me the right amount of money, I'll fight anybody. You know, I'll punch my mom in the nose if they gave me enough money. You know what I mean? So, but that's not a realistic thing. I'm not training like that. I'm not. The reason I retired was more just about me wanting to be home more. You know, I've been training for, you know, probably I've been fighting for about 13 years at that time, and you know, I have four kids, and a lot of them, their whole life I've been training. And when you're trying to compete at that level, it's a full time job, and I had that, and I was working on the fire department full time. You know, sure. I'd get home, you know, my kids would get home from school, and I'd immediately have to go to the gym, and I'd be there till like 8, and then I'm cutting away. It was a constant thing, and I was never one to like take time off. I was constantly training and constantly trying to stay in as good a shape as I could, because, you know, I knew I didn't have the time to dedicate like other fighters, so I thought that's how I was going to make up. I was always going to be in shape, and I realized that I wasn't being home enough, and my kids were growing up without their dad, and I decided that was enough. So I can't really go back and start training like that again, or without pretty much abandoning my family. And I'm happy where I'm at right now. So,
well, and that's good. You know, the thing about it is earlier on in the show we were talking with Josh Bourne, freestyle motorcycle racer, and really living life on the edge, and you do as well on the other end of it. Now you own a promotion fight company, I guess, and talk with me a little bit about that. And we've got also Gene Walker's on the line with us, who's also a manager for MMA. Maybe you guys have crossed each other's paths. But you, MMA and Indiana Midwest Fight Series, you own a promotion company as well. Talk with us about what you're doing now inside the industry. Obviously, you're on the business side of things. You're promoting, and we've got a fight coming back on August the 28th here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we're really excited for the UFC to finally be coming back. That'll be an awesome event. It just helps the sport grow here in the state. But what happened with the fight organization, Midwest Fight Series, was I decided that, you know, I've had people who, after I retired, I still had people I helped train, because, you know, my guys helped me for, some helped me for 5 or 6 years. They trained with me, got me ready for fights. You know, I had to help them back out. Now, I wasn't there every day like I used to, but I'll go in there a couple of days a week and try and help them out, or especially when my kids were in school, I'll go help them out. And, you know, I realized when the commission came to Indiana, it really stopped the amount of fights that were being put on. And if you're one thing people don't understand, I learned a lot from boxing. You know, if you're not, if you don't have somebody behind you or a place that's looking to have you come put fights on there, a lot of times the only good fights you can get are when you're going to go to somebody else's backyard. Meaning, I might have a good guy and he has to go to Cincinnati to fight the Cincinnati hometown hero. And in a close decision, lots of times the hometown guy wins. You're going to get homered, and it's just, you're not going to be set up for success unless you have somebody kind of looking up and take care of you. Now, I'm not really looking to go out and take care of people. I just want to put on good, fair fights for the people in Indiana so that, you know, we can develop some good fighters without going around and getting the records destroyed by, you know, getting bad opportunity. And it's the only place to fight is in other states. I want to put a good, fair fight system on here in the state close to where a lot of these fighters live and give them the ability to just go and develop. I don't want people to show up in our fight series and be there, you know, and fight 10 times. That's not my goal. I want them to fight there 2 or 3 times as a stepping stone. And if, and when they get to the a level where they're good enough, I want to send them on to the UFC or Bellator or wherever. So I'm just trying to help. I mean, I'm looking at this from a fighter standpoint. I'm trying to be a guy who helps develop fighters through my fight series.
Well, absolutely. We're joined by Lights Out Chris Lytle, also Gene Walker, and Paul, who helped put this together, who has his own radio show as well that him and Chris do as well. Now, Gene and Paul and Chris, I want to let you know that you've got a stage now for across the state of Indiana. We're on Indiana Talks every Saturday afternoon. This show, our encore show, will air on Indiana Talks from 3 to 5 this afternoon. So you have an audience in the entire state of Indiana, well, nationally. So certainly it will get your voice out to the state of Indiana. But Gene Walker is a manager of fighters in the MMA, and that's what he does in the real world. So, Gene, as a manager, what would you like to talk to Chris about on the promotional side, from the fighting side? Any questions at all, Gene, that you may have for Chris?
Hey, Chris.
What's up, Gene?
Yeah, I haven't seen you since we were down at the Midwest Fight Series actually recently, looking at a couple of fighters who were potential client or potential opponents for Darby Halfordy when we were down there, and our
cool
135 fighter. And I guess the question I have, sir, because I haven't had any of my fighters on your show. I've got obviously some guys up here in Fort Wayne. That would be great to throw the fourth down guys down there with you. Do you have a show coming up soon? Maybe is the first question.
Oh yeah, we have a real big card coming up here, July 19th. This should be our biggest fight that we've had. And I'm looking to get, you know, 1,300 to 1,500 spectators at the event. Should be a real good one. We have in our main event a guy named Garrett Whitley, who's undefeated right now, and he's going to be fighting former UFC fighter Jason Gilliam in the main event. And we just have a whole slew of good fights, so I'm really excited for that. But July 19th is our next one. Yeah.
Excellent. I think one of the things that, I mean, just looking at this, and Tom, you have to understand that when you're looking at a guy's career, one of the things that always fascinated me about Chris's career in this sport was not only the amount of fights that he had, which isn't, I mean, 54 fights is quite a few fights, but when you take into account that of the losses that Chris had, he was never submitted. And I think that that's something, if you want to start learning about MMA and learning how difficult that was, Tom, that's a stat you need. You're a baseball guy. You're all about the numbers. Well, that's a number you should look at. Because if you lost 18 times and you won 31 and you were never submitted one time, that speaks volumes about what you're able to do inside a cage. So, Chris, if I were to say to you, kind of step outside yourself for a minute, you analyze the sport, a fighter was going to be 31-18 and not be submitted once, would you said I was nutty for even saying that?
Well, if that was the case, I would think you were dealing with a pure grappler, a really good grappler with very bad stand-up. That's what it sounded to me like, you know what I mean? I would think, man, he's probably been knocked out a lot. And I was very fortunate, to be honest. I don't know, very fortunate, and I think this is something you're kind of born with or not, but of those losses, I was never knocked out either. I got stopped twice due to a cut both times, where the doctor stopped it due to the cuttage, but not the knockout. So that was one thing I prided myself on, was my durability. I was saying, you know, you might if you beat me, you're going to earn it, and it's going to be tough. And another thing that's kind of weird with my record, I've had a lot more fights than that. I mean, they wouldn't recognize any of the fights that were non-sanctioned states. I remember, I think the first fight they had me, I think I was 1-0 on the internet when I started fighting in Japan. Well, I was like 10-0. And then I had some other fights after, you know, when I was fighting in Japan, still fighting in Indiana, whatnot. None of those are on my record, you know. So I've had closer to probably 70 fights in all actuality, at least, you know. Plus I had 15 boxing matches. And, you know, I think that my ability to not get knocked out is pretty lucky there. But my submission is a different story. I think that just is a testament to how often, you know, I trained in all aspects. I think when I first started in 1998, most guys were very good at boxing. They were very good at kickboxing. They were very good at wrestling or grappling, but they weren't good at all of it, you know. So I think I was one of the earlier guys who really saw the need to, I mean, I would train on the ground just as much as I would on my feet. So I think that it was that more than anything that led to, you know, just my ability to understand what was going on and not get submitted out there.
I think the one thing that sticks out to me about your career too, at least from what we see as a record here and I believe your last fight was Dan Hardy.
Yeah.
You won, it looks like, four or five of your last six fights?
Yeah.
That speaks something to the fighter too, because a lot of fighters do not go out in that fashion. They go out losing and trying to get something back and hanging on, and you didn't. You went out on top of your game, it looks like, or at least relatively on top of your game, and I think that's probably a testament to your intelligence, if nothing else. But I was wondering, was there a fight for you in all of your fights that kind of marked your, you know, I've always said one fight doesn't make or break a career, and I totally believe that. That's a lot of hype. But was there one fight you remember where you were like, man, I'm not going to just be doing this. I really can do this. Was there an opponent that you beat or that you fought well against that you felt that?
Well, I would probably say, if anything, I would have to say that was, you know, I fought in the UFC at like UFC 29 or 28 or something back in 2000. And then that was before, that was when SEG still owned it. It was before Zuffa bought it. So it was a totally different organization back then. And when the UFC bought it, they changed stuff up, made a lot of different rules, and really cleaned up, made it better, made it marketable. I mean, it was falling apart. It was only legalized in a few states. So when they bought it, you know, it back then they put on maybe five or six UFCs a year, not many. And so I had to work fighting Japan, fight a lot of local circuits again to get back to the UFC. So when I made it back in UFC 45, I remember, once again, they weren't putting on many UFCs, and I fought an individual named Robbie Lawler. I'm sure you all know him, but I remember it was funny because they had me down. They thought I was pretty much a boxer, just a boxer. That's what they kind of listed me as. I was like, cool, because I was doing a lot of pro boxing at the time. And they were like, okay, Robbie Lawler's fighting this new boxer guy coming into there. But they're like, Lawler's a lot bigger, so he's going to knock this guy out real quick. And there was he couldn't, you know, because he fought Aaron Riley, the whole thing, just a great slugfest. And they had, I remember seeing a couple polls, and it was like 90% of the people were picking him to knock me out. So, and I remember after that fight, it was funny because I lost. It was a close decision. It was a very good fight. And I lost, but I gained probably more fans than I ever had after that fight. I remember thinking after that fight, I was like, man, you know, I just fought one of the up-and-coming guys who was top of his game and put on a great fight. And, you know, it was, even after coming off a loss, I felt like, man, I can hang with anybody in here. You know, I mean, I'm not training quite as much as they do, but I figured out my system, how I was going to work it, you know, work on the fire department end and that. But I knew, I mean, it was, I was never really in question to get submitted, knocked out, and very close fight. I felt I had a couple opportunities to win. I really felt like after that, and I can hang with anybody around here. I felt like I knew I could.
Now, we're talking with Chris Lytle, obviously one of the greatest names in UFC fighting and MMA fighting. And, Chris, I know that back in 2011, when you were in weigh-ins with Dan Hardy, you said, regardless of the outcome, win or lose, I'm retiring. This is it for me. Have you ever looked back at that statement and said, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that?
No. I mean, you know, people ask me if I missed fighting, if I want to. Oh, I've missed it pretty much every day since then, and I knew I would. It was never really an issue. What kind of happened with me is, once again, I've been fighting the whole time, and I was in my routine, just training every day. That's what I did. That was my life. That was my kid's life. And then, like, right before the fight, before that, about a month before the fight, I hurt my knee and had to have surgery. I had to have my ACL, or not my ACL, I had my meniscus removed on my left knee. And, you know, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want the fight to be canceled. So I took the fight. What happened, I was supposed to fight Carlos Condit in Australia. And I was so hyped up for that fight. I really wanted that fight because, you know, I'd won four in a row before that. And I was like, winner of this might be you're getting a title shot. So I took the fight, and then about a week and a half out from the fight, he got hurt. He hurt his knee and couldn't do the fight. So they threw me a new guy, Brian Ebersol, and changed the whole complexion of the fight. I knew it was going to be a stand-up fight at the beginning, and then it turned to a ground fight. I wasn't in good shape. I ended up losing a decision. But after that fight, I never let my knee rehab because I went straight to that fight. So after the fight, I decided I got to get my leg stronger again because it was hurt. And I took a month off, and I started, you know, spending some time at home. You know, my kids would get home from school, I would stay there. I would be at their baseball or basketball games and, you know, cheerleading events. I'd just go to a lot of stuff. And after that, I remember I was ready for my next fight, and I got the call about, you know, getting ready to train for Dan Hardy. And I remember as soon as I went to the gym the next day, like I felt very guilty. I had a very guilty conscience. I was like, man, you should be at home. You know what I mean? Your kid's got a basketball game and you're gone. You're gone again. And I started feeling really very guilty for like the 2 or 3 days in a row going to the gym. And I talked to my wife. I was just like, I can't do this anymore, you know. And we talked about it, and I was like, this is going to be my last fight. I sat my, you know, talked to my kids. I'm like, look, this is it. So I'm going to train my ass off for this fight. I'm not going to go out with a loss. I'm going to go out with a win. So I'm going to train every day, but after this, it'll be it. And it really made it easier for me to get in the gym. It motivated me to be there and to put on as good of a fight as I could because, you know, I never want to look back at the end and say, man, I wish I had done something different. And I knew after that I was going to, you know, I knew going in that fight, I wasn't ever fighting. I wasn't going to be one to dedicate my life to this sport anymore because, you know, there's a time and a place for that, and this was over. So looking back, I mean, it played out exactly like it had to. I mean, I'm glad I'm not going to be a guy who's going to look back in 10 years and go, man, I missed my kid's life for fighting, you know. So I'm glad it worked out like it did.
Well, we're talking with Lights Out Chris Lytle, obviously one of the greatest names in UFC fighting, and talking about his personal life, and joining us also is manager Gene Walker, and of course Paul has his own show. Guys, for a programming standpoint, we're about to lose our stream, so we'll lose our stream. You can pick us up on the archives, iTunes, and what have you as well, but we are going to be losing our stream here in about a minute. But, Gene, I wanted to give you the last question to Chris, and Paul, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your show. But we are about to lose our stream, but you guys can pick up the archive at about 11:30 on iTunes or any aspects out there that you pick up your archives or on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. So, Gene, go ahead. You've got the last question to Chris.
Chris, one of the things that I've seen just as a manager that's been trying to, you know, prepare our guys to get to obviously bigger level shows at some point in their career if it's in the cards for them. And, very, you know, people are always record heavy and this, that, and the other. And what I noticed of a lot of the organizations is that guys would be fed a lot of really easy opponents to try to balloon that record up to get that quick, that quick opportunity. And my theory always was that was a gypsy bankroll, because if you got your guy an opportunity and then he ends up getting blown out, he's not there anyway. What is your view on that dynamic? Do you think it's a wiser choice to give your guys some harder fights and take your lumps, even if they're losses, and avoid that? Or do you think it is about getting an opportunity and see what happens?
No, to me, that's an old boxing mentality. Get your guy right away to 15-0 with, you know, find a bunch of tomato cans. But you know, this isn't boxing, and this is a different sport. And I like the direction that this is winning as opposed to that. You know, you do that, and it's funny because you never know the fighter, and you get a guy who you tell him he's great and how good he is, and you get him 10-0 fighting a bunch of tomato cans, and he goes out there and he gets beat. I mean, I've seen it with some guys I know. They go to the UFC, and they get beat 2 fights in a row. Some guys can't mentally handle that. I mean, they've been told how great they are, and all of a sudden, you know, the reality punches them in the face, and they realize how much better certain people are, and they're done for life. I mean, you might have ruined that fighter. So
right.
I think it's very important. You might have them 1 or 2 easy fights just so they understand being in front of the crowd, you know, and how that can affect you and what that does with the adrenaline dump. And you might get them a couple easy fights, but after that, you need to start stepping it up. So that's where I think, you know, organizations like, you know, Midwest Fight Series, it comes into play. You can get them a fight with a – you have a really good kid with good potential, and he might be 3-0. You can throw him in with a guy who's, you know, 5-5 and had some tough fights. See how good he is. You know, you get a guy who's durable, you put him in there with – just to test your guy. But, you know, the way I see it is you want to put your guy in – not like a 50-50 fight maybe, but like a 60-40. 60% of the time your guy's going to win, 40% he's going to lose. Just so you can see how he's going to react. You don't want him to go into a 9-10, you know, he's going to win 9 out of 10 times. You want to be a little tougher fights at the right point in his career to make his fights tougher and tougher. And, you know, with our guy, I know the guy who fought on the main event before for us is going to be the main event this time, Garrett Whitley. Let's talk with, you know, his trainer, Pat McPherson, and that's what he wants. He's talked to us and said, hey, I want a guy, Garrett stops most people in the first round. Can you get him somebody who can go 3 rounds? Okay. You know, we'll look for it. So, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the fight. Anybody can get, you know, knocked out or submitted, but you look. That's what I like to hear. I like to hear they're trying to build him for the next level. So you want people who are going to be able to go the distance, and you want people who are going to push him. And you want 50-50 fights sometime before you go to the next level because you want that guy tested and you want him – a loss isn't a bad thing either. You want them tested and you want them understanding all aspects of fighting before you go to the big show, in my opinion. I think it's very important to let them, you know, even taste defeat helps people train sometimes, but just understanding when you get in that third round how difficult that is. I mean, I remember when Brock Lesnar was getting ready to fight Shane Carwin. My opinion was, you got two guys who don't really understand fighting. I mean, Brock's great at what he does. He can hit hard, knock people out. Not a great technician. I mean, and Shane Carwin never been past the first round. So you mean to tell me this guy has never been past the first round fighting for the title, understands what the second, third period, fourth, you know, those are like? I knew as soon as he went past the first period, no way he's going to win. I mean, people don't understand how tiring that is in between rounds if you've never done it. And now you got a guy fighting for the title didn't know it. So it was very frustrating to me that, you know, he didn't have those early fights where he went in there. I mean, he was obviously very tough, so it is hard to find guys at a lower level for him. I understand that. But you need to push your guys, like you said. I'm not a big fan of giving them easy fights all the time. That's a long answer for a short question.
I understand. Well, unfortunately, guys, we ran just about out of time here. I want to thank Gene Walker. He's a manager in the MMA series. Of course, Chris Lytle, an honor to have you on today, Chris. Is there anything that we missed today that you would like to tell us?
I got a ton of things I'd like to talk about. So anytime you'd like to have me on, man, I got a ton of things I'd like to talk to. Anytime you'd like to have me on, man, I'll be one of your MMA guys to come in and talk to MMA. Just let me know, man. I'd love to talk.
We'd love to have you. And Paul Puddle, we appreciate you putting that together for us. And you've got your own show as well as being events coordinator for Midwest Fight Series as well. Paul, real quickly, in a minute or so, talk to us about your show and what you've got going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. When I first met Chris, you know, the great thing about him is he's also an amazing person, as you guys may have found out today. Very sharp in his knowledge of different things. So the reason we created our show is because I feel that everybody should have the opportunity to hear, you know, what Chris has to say, why he does certain things. And one of the things, like Gene talked about, was, you know, never being knocked out, never being submitted. That stuff is a lot of a mental sport, a mental part of the sport that I think could help young fighters coming up learn some things from Chris without Chris having to be right there with him. He can definitely talk about it. So that's what our show is about. Our show is about all MMA. We goof off every once in a while and stray away from the plan, but that's all part of the fun as well. It's called Lights Out Live. We do it twice a month on Tuesdays, so definitely check out Midwest Fight Series on Facebook to see when it's on. You can also look Blog Talk Radio and search in Lights Out Live. It's been the number one MMA show since we started it a couple of months ago, so it's right there on the featured shows. So definitely take a listen to it. And also call in and ask Chris questions. That's been the funnest part. We have 15 to 16 callers just asking Chris these different questions, which is phenomenal. So we appreciate you having us on, Tom.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Chris Lytle, Gene Walker, and Paul Puddle, all of the MMA arena, and we're going to put together a segment about once a month when we have these guys on and talk about their show and what's coming on. Guys, you have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks. Always good to have these guys on. I tell you what, especially when you have guys that you look at it maybe in a different angle from the sports arena, it's always good to see the personal side of things. Well, I want to thank all of our guests today for taking some time with us today. And Josh Bourne, a freestyle motorcycle, and as well as Meet Your Makers, Brad and Chris on their way out to Mount Rushmore, talking with us a little bit about that. And, of course, Lights Out Chris Lytle, Paul Pottle, and Gene Walker, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. Remember, don't drink and drive. It ain't cool. I'll see you on Thursday night for the third, as we round the bases on my baseball show, My Passion, if you will. We talked some baseball on the Hot Corner Thursday night. Remember, Indiana Talks, our encore show. If you miss any of this show, you can catch us on www.thebalanceonline.com or on iTunes. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I'll see ya.
Hold back, 'cause I've been looking for you. You better watch your back. I'm coming through.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.